Hello, hello. This is Alfie, aka Alfalfa Sprout 69 from the Six Dream Bliss forums, coming to you with episode number 9 of the Alfalfa Sprout 69 Rantcast. This is episode number 9, and I thought I'd do a quick episode to tie you guys down if you're missing the Rantcast. I did plan on recording the Les Paul segment this week, actually the previous week. However, I did have quite the accident with my thumb and an X-Acto knife, so I can't record any sound samples. It's almost healed up. It was quite a deep wound, but I guess with a blade that sharp, it just cuts like butter through your thumb and seems to heal a lot quicker because it's a nice, clean, even cut. Silly me has just discovered the glory of blades. Sharp blades, because you can use them for many things: cleaning up, scraping, shaping, carving, cutting, and they do make life easier for when you've got those delicate little tiny jobs you need to do with wood, plastic, or whatever. And and there's my phone. My apologies, back on silent it goes. So it's a really good tool to have, and especially if you're like me, if you're the type of person that likes to do it yourself a lot, then it's a really, really cool tool to have in your arsenal. However, in saying that, having these type of tools in your arsenal, it's, you gotta be careful, because I learned the hard way. I cut myself twice, actually, but no one's counting, right? So, anyway, enough of that. So, if anyone's really looking forward to that Les Paul episode, apologies that it's not coming out as soon as I would like it to, but there'll be a good episode coming up. We do have an interview with a fellow listener, in regards to their Les Paul experiences, and, it should be a really good show, so be patient, guys, and it will come out. My apologies again for taking such a long time. But in this episode, let's talk about a few things. Let's talk about the very first thing I'd like to discuss here is we have our good friend Mermals. I believe his name is Martin from the forum, Six Dream Bliss Forum. He is the lucky owner of a Benford guitar, Benford half-custom guitar. I believe the shape is called a DC. It's like a double cutaway Les Paul-style shaped guitar. It's absolutely beautiful. It's got a very interesting transparent red sort of wine-colored top on it. And there's a picture of Martin holding the guitar, which isn't, I guess, not something that we normally do because we're a little embarrassed of the camera. But you can see he's a happy guy, and I can completely understand how happy he is. One thing about Steve Benford's guitars. Now, if anyone out there is listening to this podcast and you're wondering, who is this Benford guy? What are we talking about? If you haven't played a Benford guitar, my apologies, but you haven't lived. It's an experience that you have to experience once in your life. You know, if you don't have the opportunity to own one, you need to play one. Now, everyone that listens to this podcast, and for anyone that's new, I have a Benford full custom guitar as well, and it's just an absolute joy to play it. The rest of my guitars have got nothing over it. So, Martin, I'll call him Mermals, so if people are used to him on the forums. Now, Mermals was in the market for a guitar, and I believe he was in the market for a Les Paul to begin with. He was looking at a Les Paul Studio, and then he was looking at alternatives like the ESP Eclipse and Chapman Guitars ML2, I believe it is, and maybe a few other guitars. However, he stumbled across Benford Guitars, and there's a lot of people on the forum praise about him. Now, Benford Guitars, if you just go to the benfordguitars.com, you'll know a little bit about Steve Benford. He's a fantastic luthier who makes custom guitars, I believe most of them all on his own, in a small shop in the USA, so American-made guitars. And I just have to say, it's really, really good guitars. If you ever have the opportunity to even consider one, put it in your list of considerations. So Mermals has got his guitar. Now, I'm on the Benford website. Now, one thing that Steve Benford does is he always puts up pictures when he finishes a build. He's very proud of his work, and he should be. I'm a big believer in a lot of do-it-yourself, so when I like to do something myself, just it's like self-accomplishment. It's a little thing you do, and I like to take pictures, post them up, and keep them there, so there's always a place I can refer to them. Other people can see if it helps them out. Steve's case, he's a professional, so he's a professional, professional guitar player and professional luthier. So on his website, he puts up almost most of his builds, all of his builds, pictures of them if they're full customs or what they call a half custom. So Martin's guitar is a half custom, so I believe the neck is pre-made, but it's like a blank, so it's just really the shape. And then everything else is put on there. So it just comes with frets, I believe, and then maybe it doesn't. Maybe you put your own inlays, who knows? But it's just amazing. You would think this was a full custom guitar. It is that immaculately good looking. So the guitar, if I describe it to people, but you go to Steve's website and check out the guitar gallery, you'll be blown away. So Martin's guitar, it's called a DC. It is called a DC half custom. And I'm just going to go through the specs here so people can hear what he got. So it's got a walnut body. Now, I have a guitar with walnut in it. It's not a wood that you would commonly hear about, but I believe it's actually used quite a bit. I have an Ibanez RG guitar. It's actually an RGT, and by the T means that it's not a bolt-on neck. It's neck through construction. Now, the neck is made of walnut, and it's got a Babinga stripe or something like that through it, and then mahogany wings to make up the body. And it sounds fantastic. Sounds huge. Sounds like a mahogany guitar would sound like, really. It's a really, really good tone wood. I think so anyway. So he's got a walnut body, and then he's got a maple burl, is that how you pronounce it, top with satin red, and it looks fantastic. It's a really different look from your traditional flame maple or quilted maple tops. I really like it. It kind of reminds me of kind of hitting a finish with like heat or something like that with a blowtorch, giving those type of highlights a little bit. It's a very unique look, and it looks absolutely amazing. Well, it's when you see people with really expensive maple coffee tables and things like that. It's really cool. You really have to check this guitar out to see the beauty of it. So, maple burl top with red satin in color. It's got a mahogany neck. It is a maple burl headstock overlay. That's one thing I really like. If you're getting a custom guitar, if you get it in a guitar with a really beautiful top, why do they not always give you a nice, beautiful headstock overlay to match the body? I understand some people like PRS, they want to make sure that they've got the right tops and that thing. I think you can get them in their custom Volt series, whatever it's called, like the really expensive ones, but it's a nice touch and it makes the guitar look very professional. It's got an ebony truss rod cover, which I think looks great. Love a bit of ebony on there. It's got a Graftech Tusk XL nut. I have a Tusk XL nut on my Benford guitar, and I'm going to get one for my Les Paul just because it's black and, you know, they're very consistent. It's got perleroid block inlays, so a bit like a Les Paul. But on the 12th fret, it's got like a diagonal slice in the inlay, so it's like two inlays put in. You have to see it. Like, it's a pretty cool feature for the 12th fret, just to break it up a little bit there. It's got an all-access neck joint. Now, here's something interesting. Now, I know Fender have moved over with their bolt-on necks. So Martin's guitar is a bolt-on neck, and Fender have moved over, and they've got a, instead of having a big chunky bolt-on neck, the square, it's a bit curved underneath it so that they move one of the bolts closer towards the lower bout of the body, carve it under a bit, and gives you quite a nice access to the neck. And I thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. Or should I say, I thought that was the best thing since the clip-on tuner. Now, I got my Benford guitar with the all-access neck joint, and my goodness, I've got a bolt-on as well. I can't hear the difference between a set neck and a bolt-on. To me, it makes no difference. If it matters to you, fantastic. Now, go for it. Get what you prefer. Get what you want. Get what you like. Personally, it doesn't really bother me, and I like bolt-ons. I like the method. No, they're solid. The neck's not going anywhere. And, personal preference. So it's on this bolt-on neck. Steve's got what he's called an all-access neck joint, and it is unbelievable. You can get right up to the highest frets and with ease. It's really, really cool. You really have to experience a proper carved all-access neck joint to understand the comfort. Now, I know most of us may not play up that high very often, but when you do, you don't want to be obstructed, and that's a really good point. You don't want to be obstructed because if you're not proficient at playing up that high, you're not really much of a shredder, but whenever occasionally you want to go up that high, you don't want to be obstructed by anything. You're not used to going up that high, so any benefit to make it more comfortable, more accessible, to me, is worth its weight in gold. Let's call it that phrase. Really, really cool neck joints. Check them out. The pickups are interesting. So Martin went with Seymour Duncan Alnico Pro 2 Slash pickups in reverse zebra. I've heard a lot about these, and I believe the pickups I have in my Schecter maybe wannabe ripoffs of these pickups. I believe, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this because I don't want to click too much. My microphone will pick it up. But I believe Slash's Pro 2 use Alnico 2 pickups. You know what? Sorry about the keyboard typing, but this is a podcast, not a radio show. So let's check these out. Let's type in Slash, Alnico 2 Pros, and let's see what these pickups consist of. I've heard people do demos of them. They sound like a really cool pickup. They really do. And they do use, it says description of these pickups. They're a modified version of the APH-1 Alnico 2 Pro pickups, the Slash version are, and they use Alnico 2 pickups. I thought that the dodgy pickups I have in my Schecter guitar from GFS were a bit of a ripoff of these. They're the Alnico 2 set that I've got. So, Alnico 2 is an interesting strength in the magnet and an interesting sound. I actually prefer it. I was a big Alnico 5 guy for a long time and ceramic bridge guy, but I'm really digging the Alnico 2, and I can only imagine being from Seymour Duncan. I've got two sets of Seymour Duncans and in my guitar, two different guitars, and you know what? They sound great. Absolutely great pickups. So, you know, they look good on the guitar too. Breaks it up with the reverse Zebra. Really cool. He's got a master volume, master tone switch on there. Really nice. I should say control, not switch. Three-way switch, very traditional type of switching. But he does have two three-way mini switches for series parallel. So this would kind of give you the effect of the Seymour Duncan triple shot pickup rings, where you can have the pickups in full humbucker mode. If you're not too familiar with the Slash pickups, they're humbucker set, neck and bridge. So you can split the coils, so you can have either coil on or off, which is nice for some single coil-like tones. And they're not, I don't agree with a lot of humbuckers. They're not the same as when you're playing through a Strat or a Tele. Not at all, but you do get almost the way there. And they sound good enough to record and that sort of thing. Very different sound. So you can have either coil on or off. And then you can have the series wiring, which is the humbucker mode, and then the parallel wiring. So basically, the two coils are performing independently of each other. So it's like sort of like having two single coils on close together. Really cool sound. So there's a lot of versatility in Mermel's guitar here. It's really, really cool. What else have we got here? It's got the electro socket jack cup. Now, this is one thing I praise, the way it works. Now, you might think it's just to hold your output jack. How many times with the traditional Les Paul style Fender output jacks, especially the Telecaster ones, how many times has your jack come loose? You turn up for rehearsal, you go to plug in, it's crackling everywhere, you know. So you turn the nut, you can't support the back of the jack. So what happens? You keep twisting your wires in there, and eventually you'll twist them and the solder joints will tear off. The Electro Socket Jack Cup, check it out. It's called Electro Socket Jack Cup. Check out the design. It's really cool. Never comes undone. Works a treat. Made out of metal. He's got strings through the body. I'm a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of a stop-tail piece. I guess it serves its purpose, but I prefer string through body. People say it gives you more resonance, more tone, more sustain, whatever, blah, blah, blah. If you feel it does, fantastic. It'll make you a better player because you believe it does. If you don't, then that's cool. I don't really think it makes a huge difference, but I just like the cleaner look and the fact that the strings are going through the body. And his little, when the strings go through the body, they're kind of like in the smiley face, which is a nice touch. And it's got locking tuners. I'm a big fan of locking tuners. They're not a necessity. You know, they just make life a touch easier when you change strings, and so you don't have wraps around your string posts. If you do a lot of bending or you do vibrato work, they tend to stay in tune a little bit better if you've got a good nut. So, I mean, like you don't need them, but they're a nice touch. You know, really nice touch to have. One thing I will point out, it's very interesting. He has a recessed tunematic bridge. Now, I specifically asked for that on my Benford. I didn't think it was all that popular, but I really like the look of it. I think it looks nice and neat, and it's a great way so you don't have a really big neck angle on your guitar like a Les Paul that has a, well, most, I guess, Gibson kind of guitars have quite the extreme neck angle to get them to play well. So, and the reason I see to get a recessed tunematic bridge, if you like tunematics, is your hand's not right up off the guitar. And if you're used to playing sort of Fender-style bridges or Floyd Rose bridges, you're really tucked into the, you're really close to the guitar. With a tunematic, you're kind of up off the guitar. It's a different experience, but I guess we're all guitar players, so you know what I'm talking about. So I really like that touch on Mermal's guitar there. And yeah, the wood, it's a thing of beauty. Now, looking at the pictures, this is from my personal experience with a Benford guitar, looking at the pictures online, you think the guitar looks really good, but they do not do it justice. I'm not saying Steve's a bad photographer or anything like that. It's just when you hold these things in your hand and you move them around in the light and you see the craftsmanship, you see the little details, you see how beautiful the tops are, the maple burl top with satin red finish like that. I'm betting when Mermal saw his guitar, he was blown away by it. And yeah, so dude, I hope you have a fantastic time getting acquainted to know your guitar. Let us know a full report, please, on the forums, or you know, it'd be really, really nice to if we could chat or something about it, you know, about your experiences and share it with the world, because I believe these are some of the best guitars in the world. And that's not just because I know Steve and I get along with Steve, but in all honesty, they're just such high quality instruments. And again, Mermals, welcome to the Benford Custom Club. So yeah, and if you're, like I was saying, if anyone's considering about getting a new guitar and you want something a little bit different, you want something unique, something handmade, you know, just consider Benford Guitars and see what he can do. I'm not sure if he's got a bit of a backlog on orders and things like that. However, you know, it's a really good option to get and to think about if you have the money, have the time, have the funds, and have the passion. All right, so what else can we do here? Well, I'll keep this one a bit short, and I'll get on to the Les Paul episode and do what I can with that, because I know people are expecting my opinions on them because I was so negative about Gibbs. But I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone. I'm not going to give you anything like that. Let's talk about a bit of a rant now. Now, I know I was, this is called the Rant Cast, and you guys are expecting a rant, but let's clear one thing out. If I'm offending anybody, you know, this is a podcast, you can just turn it off and you can unsubscribe and that sort of thing. Not that I want you to or anything like that. But as musicians, as guitar players, we are very, very opinionated. Now, there's a big difference between ignorance opinions and experience opinions, and then the in-between sort of opinions that people have. And everyone's entitled to it. I remember in a previous podcast, I was saying, you know, I hate it how kids say I've got a Fender when they've really got a Squire and that sort of thing. You know what? That wasn't a cool thing to say, but you know what? It is my opinion. I don't like when people say that sort of stuff, but hey, you know what? It shows passion and it shows a love for the instrument. And one thing I guess we need to understand, if someone has a passion and love for the instrument, you know, everyone wants to be cool. Everyone wants to have a Ferrari. Everyone wants to, you know, want to have the nice things in life, wants to have a big house, wants to have sort of things. These are our issues being first world people, right? Now, My point is that if it makes someone play better, there's a difference between arrogance and passion. But yeah, you know what? More power to you guys. Like if you say, you know, yeah, I've got a Squire Fender, I've got a Fender, whatever. Yeah, cool, go for it. You know, it's gonna make you a better player because you'll love the instrument more. You want to pick it up more, and that's the main thing. Like you want to pick up your musical instruments. You don't want to not pick them up and not try and not bother. But anyway. So let's just bring up, I keep random topics on my telephone these days in the notes on my iPhone. Yes, I will always buy an iPhone. I know that they don't work as well, but hey, they're marketing geniuses. So in the notes here, let's bring up a couple topics to keep this podcast going for a little bit longer. And I promise I will start getting to work on the rest of the Les Paul episode, which will bring us to episode 10 when that comes out. Fantastic. So let's talk about something here. What have I got that will be interesting to people? Here's something interesting. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before. Clip-on tuners. I think they are the best invention. I've had a few pedal tuners. I all use pedal tuners in the multi-effects pedals I've had. At the moment, I've got the Line 6 M5 pedal tuner, and I think it's a great pedal tuner. It's fantastic. You know, it's accurate, it's easy to read. I've also got a Planet Waves pedal tuner. I'm not sure what it's called. It's an older one. It's all metal and it's got like a round sort of strobe feature on it. Really, really clear. You could see this thing on stage easy and that sort of thing. It's really great. But you know what? Pedal tuners, personally, I think they're a waste of space on your pedal board. They take up the whole room for a pedal, and when real estate is tight, just doesn't seem to make sense. So I eventually went to, when I went to the rack mount unit that I use, the TC Electronics G Major 2, the one of the biggest features it sold me, even though it's not really to do with what the effects processor does, it's got a tuner on the screen that's always on. You can't even turn it off. Like, it's always on. It's big, it's clear, it's accurate, and you've got different settings, so you can change the accuracy of your, like, stage setting, studio setting, setting up guitar setting, and that sort of thing. And I'm big on rack mount stuff. Like, I love the versatility in that, and especially TC gear. A lot of people hate them, like, especially techs and roadies, because they use the weird European style, strange security nuts and bolts and that sort of thing, but it's a quality item. It's never broken down on me, and you know, I just keep it in the house. I know it's a little excessive for someone that just plays at home every occasionally, plugs into their amp, but does the job and does the job really, really well. It's a fantastic item. So, however, if I wasn't using that, and when I normally play, I play a lot of my electrics acoustically. I don't really plug them in, or when I do plug in, it's normally late at night. So I plug into my computer, I pull up Guitar Rig, and the headphones, and off I go. Now, the Guitar Rig has a tuner in it. I don't think it's the best tuner. It's a bit funny. So, I use a clip-on tuner. I've got two. I've got a Snark tuner. It was one of the cheaper ones. I think it was really for violin. It was like $10 with free postage on eBay. And I have the Planet Waves NS2 micro tuner, which is a really great tuner. But in my opinion, it's only really made for six-a-side headstocks. It's not made for three-a-side headstocks. And if it is, you're covering up your logo and you're covering up that sort of thing. Now, that may not be an issue to some of you guys, but I don't really want to use some of the backing on the clip-on tuner. Doesn't seem to be all that protective. It's a piece of really, really thin rubber. So it's up to you. I mean, that may not be any deal whatsoever, but, you know, clip-on tuners, I just think they're the best invention. It gets rid of a pedal on your real estate, they last for ages, they're quite discreet. And you know what? People have a cry about the Snark tuner that, you know what, it looks like an alien's head bouncing off your guitar. It looks like a, you know, it looks out of place on your headstock or adds too much weight to your headstock. The thing doesn't weigh much at all. You'd get more weight from having locking tuners. But it's who cares, guys? You know, no one cares. Your audience couldn't care less if you have a tuner. I'm pretty sure they prefer it if your guitar's in tune rather than not being in tune. Have a little thing on your headstock. Most people go around these days, big bands, with little mounted wireless cameras on their headstock. I don't see anyone complaining about that. You know, I think it's a poor move from the competitor when you bag out another product because of what you think is not satisfactory for that product, not in regards to its performance, just in regards to its look. That's not intelligent marketing. Now, that's a punch to the guts. That's a kick in the balls, kick in the nuts. Now, that's not, to me, that's being uncreative and not living your art to the fullest. Because if you work in marketing, you're an artist. You know, you come up with ideas. You know, you come up with ways to make people want to buy your items. I'm going to say it now, people don't like Apple, but Apple, you know, from my experience, maybe they have in the past, maybe there's things I've missed, but I don't see them bagging out other products. I don't see them saying they're rubbish. I don't see saying you can't do this. All they do is say, this is what we've got. This is what it does. Now, they're not saying it's, sometimes they say it's the best, but they say the best iPhone. Yeah, not saying it's the best phone in the world. Not saying this. They just say, this is what it is. And they've got these unbelievably powerful marketing people that have these very straight to the point advertising. One of the things back in the days when I went to a little bit of just looking into when I was studying IT, and then we went to a little bit of marketing and advertising, online advertising, that sort of thing. One thing that stands out is the Apple's ads on earphones. Like, it's just straight to the point. It's a simple silhouette with the iPhone earbuds in white. You know, and I'm getting off topic here, but not really, because what I'm saying is, like, I have noticed that a lot of the advertisers for other tuners keep bagging out the Snark tuner. You know what, guys? The Snark tuner is a fantastic tuner, and I would take it over the Planet Waves NS2 tuner. It seems to be more accurate. It clips on a lot better, and you can use it on various guitars, and you can actually hide it. You can clip it on so it sits behind your headstock, and no one's going to see it. But I'm quite sure that if you're an accomplished musician, your crowd couldn't care less if you have a tuner hanging off the headstock of your guitar. What matters is you're in tune, you've got more real estate for another pedal on your pedal board, and you're having a good time. Who cares what it looks like? Really? Care about what your guitar looks like, not what, you know, if that's the thing. Care about what clothing you're wearing when you go to perform, because you're there for a visual performance. But yeah, I think clip-on tuners are the best thing. Best thing. I use them all the time. I always have a clip-on tuner on my guitar, and I think it's great. I can just take it, put on one, put on the other. They work really, really well. The bigger benefit I see is that they work on a noisy in a noisy environment. You don't even need to hear the guitar. But in saying that, here is my point. I believe, especially if you're at home, and if you're on stage, you're not going to do this because it's embarrassing, but now, I believe when you tune your guitar, do not mute the signal. Whatever you do, never mute the signal. Now, it depends on your level of musicianship, but what I'm saying is that when you are tuning your guitar, every time you tune your guitar and you're listening to that sound, you are tuning your hearing. You're really, really involved in making something, making your musical experience and your notice of tone and intervals really, really solid. And I didn't do that for ages. I used pedal tuners and I just muted them. Yep, put the guitar in tune. I wasn't learning anything. I wasn't absorbing what the strings sound like. You know, we're musicians. We should know these things. And it's incredibly difficult, actually, to identify which open strings or what if someone plays one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record the open strings of one of my guitars. I'll choose the acoustic or whatever guitar. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the perfect recording. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to record all six strings. I'm then going to play them on random and record that for a long time. Then I'll make another recording of the strings so that they're in order low to high, so you know what they are. And then what you can do is you can test yourself. Whatever you're doing, if you're in the car, you catch public transport, listen to this track that I'll load up. I'll put a link in the Podomatic description. I'll put a link on the Six String Bliss forum to download this file. It'll just be an MP3 format. It doesn't have to be high quality. Now, this will help develop your ear. And I used to do this all the time. Don't do that much anymore. I used to have a notepad. I just write down what they were and then go back and review. So listen to these random play open string notes and try to guess which notes they are and challenge yourself. You know, keep going at it. And it's going to be very difficult to begin with, but eventually, all of a sudden, you're going to know what the notes are. And that's your first step to getting the most awesome oral training you can get. Because yeah, it's all good to know notes, but we need to know notes on the guitar. We need to understand what that sounds like. The timbre of a guitar is different to that of a piano, is different to that of a saxophone, of a clarinet. We need to understand in terms of music, and I think that this is a really good exercise to do. Another really, really good thing to do, now, if it depends on your level, but let's get into that. So, guys, love clip-on tuners. Get them. Please tune by listening to the notes while you're tuning them. It will develop your ear. And like I said, I'm going to set up this file. There'll be links below, links to download it. Give it a go. Try it out. If you don't like it, don't use it. If you're not interested, all good. It's cool. You know, there are different types of guitars. That leads us into our next and final segment I want to talk about, and that is music theory and my experiences with music theory. Now, I'm a big fan of music theory. I don't know a great deal, but it does make sense, and I believe people should know some to a certain extent. It really will help you. I don't know a great deal. I've been struggling to learn the notes on the fretboard for a very long time. I know the first two strings, like everyone else, but I'd like to identify it, and the only way to really identify it is to learn it and put it into practice. Now, in saying so, when I say music theory, I don't mean you have to read sheet music. You don't have to read sheet music. It would help, because then you can read any music. However, what I am saying is understand music. Now, I'm going to take that back. I think people should learn to read sheet music, because it would teach you timing. It will teach you time signatures, how notes work, how music is written, how the language is spoken. I can barely remember. I can still read sheet music very slowly. But still can't really put it together with the guitar. I can on a keyboard, but you know, it gave me that sort of foundation to understand music. And one thing my teacher, you know, not to boast about myself, one thing one of my my vocal coach used to tell me, she's like, you've got very good timing. You know, you have very good time. You really understand timing. And that was from being forced as a child to play the electric organ. But what I am saying is, so music theory, how important is it to you? Do you know a lot of music theory? Do you know a little? Do you know enough to get by? Do you think it's a necessity? One thing I dislike with guitar, now guitar players are funny people, really funny people. They seem to be scared of theory and they seem to have a lot of negativity against it. Like, I don't need to learn theory because I play guitar. Well, you know, good for you. If you don't want to learn it, fine. But don't bag out other people. I knew someone that used to bag me out. You know, I say I want to learn theory and you get the most disgusting looks on their face. So what do you want to learn theory for, you know? Well, you think you're better than everyone else. You know, why would you want to do that? You don't play classical guitar. You know, you don't. Says, you know, all the great guitar gods knew theory. All the great guitar gods did. And they've got fantastic theory knowledge, fantastic oral and ear training. And that's what makes you a really, really good guitar player. What makes you a good guitar player is when you know what your sounds are, when you know what you're playing is, you don't necessarily have to jump up and down the neck. It looks cool, but you can still play those notes in other places. And when I say even theory, I'm talking about back to the basics of guitar. I knew someone, now this person has four guitars, right? They know nothing about music theory, but get this, they didn't even know that past the 12th fret is another octave of the same notes. They didn't even know that. Now, this is what I mean. Like, guitarists seem to really want to dumb it down when it comes to having to do anything with type of music study. And it's a real shame. It's a real shame because you can develop more personally as yourself. Now, I really should have started this long time ago, but I have a book from Justin Guitar. If people don't know Justin Guitar, check out. He's got gazillion videos on YouTube. Free, really good information. He taught me how to do pick harmonic correctly. And he's got videos where they do extreme close-ups of how to hit the string and techniques and that sort of stuff. You know, may not be your cup of tea, but give it a go. Anyway, I bought a book off him, an ebook called Really Useful Guitar Stuff. Straight to the point. No fancy name, no nothing. And it talks about learning the notes on the fretboard, basic theory, understanding the guitar and that sort of thing. Now, I went through it a little bit before and I lost interest because I was young and dumb, but now I'm going to go through it again. It's made like a booklet form so you can fill it out with pencils and what you do. And I was really kicking myself because I didn't know the notes on the fretboard. But you know what? When you learn by making errors. You learn by making mistakes because you don't make that mistake again. Maybe you'll make it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and you know, but then you get used to it and you don't make it again. And what I was doing was at that time, I was really getting to know notes on the neck. I had another method which I was doing. I was practicing every day. And I was playing music from a tab. I think it was an In Flames song at the time. And I thought, hang on a second. If I'm playing this here, and I was kind of stretching my fingers out really wide, I was like, why would someone in their right mind want to play a riff like this when I can hit the same note just here and make it comfortable? And I thought, hang on a second. What am I thinking? I'm thinking, why is someone not doing this? Why am I not doing this? I understand that I can play the same sounding note on the fretboard or similar sounding note because everything's got a slightly different timbre with your gauge of strings. But I thought, what am I doing? You know, so I changed it up and yeah, you know, it's really, really, really easy for me to play now and sounds exactly the same as the recording. So, you know, what I'm saying, it seems as though some people are sort of hindering their experience by not wanting to know any theory whatsoever, you know, really bagging out, really getting negative and angry at people that say, I want to learn this. I have noticed with a lot of guitar teachers, because every I see a music store, I always ask about lessons. I'll ask them all the time. And as soon as I say I want to learn theory, I get two different perspectives. I get a really bad attitude of them, saying that, you know, you've got to be serious, and they come down you kind of hard about it. Like, you know, I'm paying you money, paying you to teach me this, teach me. Whether I learned or not is, you know, not your concern. You're getting paid to do this. You know what? So that's end of story. I'm not going to ask if I'm not serious. Or two, I get some people like, oh, it's really, yeah, we really support it, you know, but there's only one guy that we can teach. They're quite honest about it. So it's a really mixed bag, isn't it? But, you know, what do you guys think? Do you guys like theory? Do you want to know theory? Do you want to know the language of music, Western-style music, I should say? Are you happy just noodling around and playing sort of the stuff you're happy with? I mean, there's nothing wrong. There's no right or wrong. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, 10 PRS private stock guitars. If you're into that, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have music if you don't know enough about it. But what I am saying is, you know, I don't appreciate people bagging us out because we want to learn more, because we want to develop more. And if they're ignorant about it, you're bagging someone out because you're ignorant, well then, you know, maybe you need to take a step back and have a look at yourself and say, well, am I being any benefit to anyone? Because negativity is not going to take you anywhere. It may take you a lot of places if you're into thrash metal and you've got a lot of anger to let out to write your music, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I thought I'd just wrap this up now. There's three topics there, you know, that you guys can sort of think about. We've got our custom guitar with Mermals. Fantastic guitar, looks fantastic. I really hope you have a great time with it and would really like to hear about your experiences with it once you get acquainted with her. Clip-on tuners, guys. Do you use one? Do you like them? Do you like pedal tuners? What's your experience? Is it something you just used to using a pedal tuner? Do you think you could adapt to using a clip-on tuner? You know, these are many ways to do that, but I find it very important to stay in tune and try to listen for those notes to train your ear. Try the link. Try this training guide I've got for people. See what you think. See if it's of benefit to you. If it's not a benefit, don't worry about it. But to me, I think it's great. Really tuned my ear to hear things. And it really helped. I'm not sure if it was from there, but it really helped with bending notes. I'm trying to learn a song to play on the Les Paul track, which I just learned how to play the solo. And it bends up a tone and a half, like one tone plus a semitone. And that's a big bend on a guitar. So, but, you know, and I was bending it and I was trying to feel for it, but then I'm listening and I'm hearing the note that you're going to. So I really think that this little tiny music course I've got for you guys in our oral training is really going to help in things like that, you know, if you don't already know. And then finally, we've got our music theory. What do you guys think about music theory? Is it a must? Is it not a must? Are you just happy with knowing nothing about the car? Do you want to know everything or a little bit in between? Anyway. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this rant cast. I hope it was a little bit more pleasurable. Again, sorry for all the delays. We'll work on that Les Paul episode. But until then, guys, have a fantastic week. And, I'll just say bliss on. One thing I failed to mention here, I did want to mention this. We're going to play a track here, and I'm not sure if this gentleman from the forum would want me to play it on my podcast. But, hey, you put it on SoundCloud. He has a original, The Ground Beneath Her Feet. It's quite an emotional trip on this track. But you know what? I'd like to promote people from The Bliss and so forth. So I'm going to play this track for you guys and hope you like it because he does have a download link here. So I'm going to download that right now from SoundCloud. And here it is. I'll pop it in here. Let Onwe know what you think. He did post it up on the forum, so hopefully you guys had a chance to take a listen. Original music from him there. But anyway, guys, hope you have a fantastic day. Keep playing guitar, and catch you next time. I'll take away the love I gave. I'll put you
smile you fade. The day you walked away from me, on the ground beneath your feet, the only place you'll ever be is in the ground beneath your feet. I'll say goodbye, come what may. I'll pack your things to give away. I'll choose the love to give or take. I'll dream of you and never wake. I hope my nightmares do come true. I'd end up walking 6 feet deep. You say hello, I say it too. I'll kiss the ground beneath your feet. I'll pick you up and fly away. I'll keep you hidden in my cave. I'll feel your breath on my face. I'll follow every step you take. I'll hold your hand and make you stay. I'll take away the love I gave. I'll put you back in your place. I'll wipe off all the smiles you fade. I wonder if you ever felt the ground beneath your feet. You dig your toes into the dirt, in the ground beneath your feet. The ground beneath your feet.